When I was a little boy, I had a treasure chest. The Gospel of St. Matthew says that where your treasure is, so is your heart, which completely describes how much the contents of my chest meant to me when I was 8 years old. It was slightly larger than a shoebox, perhaps 5 or 6 inches high, and made out of cedar, so it had that great smell that always seems to derive from something finer than mere wood. My chest contained the things that meant the most to me. There were the letters and postcards that my mother wrote me when I was at boarding school, a place I loathed as a child, and 3/4 of a century later still do. There were also cap guns, matchbooks, and a picture of Dick Tracy, the comic strip hero who was the idol of kids everywhere, mostly because he had such wonderful toys, a secret decoder ring, a watch with a two-way radio in it. Nobody could devise grotesque villains like Chester Gould, and kids loved the grotesque. I also had a picture of William Boyd as Hopalong Cassidy, atop his horse Topper, who I thought was the most beautiful horse in the movies, so much so that I would name my own horse after him. Topper starred in at least 50 movies with Boyd, and though my horse, Gray Topper, made only one movie, it was a good one, Louisiana Purchase with Bob Hope. Years later, it would be one of the thrills of my life to meet Bill Boyd, who turned out to be a terrific man, with a gorgeous wife named Grace Bradley, who had fallen in love with him when she was a little girl watching the silent films Bill made for Cecil B. DeMille. A dozen years later, she made her way to Hollywood and started working at Paramount, where she met Bill, married him, and lived happily ever after. By all rights, my autographed picture of Norma Shearer should have been in the treasure chest, but it was too big. I kept it in a special folder. Norma Shearer was the first movie star I ever met. The year was 1938. I was 8 years old, and I was going to school with her son, Irving Thalberg Jr., at the Hollywood Military Academy on San Vicente Boulevard, where our parents had sent us because, well, actually, I've never been quite sure why they sent us there. Neither Irving nor I could have been considered discipline problems. It's entirely possible that we were enrolled there because that's where a good percentage of parents in Beverly Hills and Bel Air educated their children. Groupthink. Perhaps there was some kind of status attached to having a kid at the military school. Anyway, I boarded at the school while Irving went home every day to Santa Monica. On weekends, boarders' friends would invite them to spend the weekend with their families. Irving was a nice kid who struck me as somewhat shy, although in retrospect it might very well have been anxiety over his father's death from pneumonia 2 years earlier. Norma Shearer had spent 18 months after Thalberg's passing off the screen, working through her grief and bargaining with the studio over her late husband's stockholdings. She won those negotiations, but Norma had a way of winning. And then it was time to go back to work. What made my first meeting with her so curious was that I had never seen Norma in a movie at that point. For that matter, I wasn't even aware that she was a movie star. All I knew was that she was Irving's mother. The Thalberg Shearer house was a French Normandy confection right on the beach. You walked into the courtyard that was filled with flowers, through the front door, and up a set of stairs. The colors tended toward the neutral, which was the style in that era. Irving Jr.'s room was decorated in a sort of rose, blue, and ivory. The only thing that struck me as odd were framed photographs of his parents hanging on his bedroom wall, just in case he ever forgot who they were. I was in my school uniform, all polished buttons and shine shoes. A butler took us up to Norma's room while I gaped at the surroundings. Irving had told me his mother was making a film called Marie Antoinette, but that was meaningless to me because I didn't know who Marie Antoinette was. The decor struck me as ornate by the standards of our own Spanish-style home, so I was convinced that I was in Marie Antoinette's house. This conviction turned out to be very confusing when I finally saw the film. I expected to see the house I'd been in, but didn't recognize any of it. The butler showed us into her bedroom, which didn't surprise me because I had already gotten the distinct feeling from Irving that his mother spent a great deal of time there. Norma was sitting up in bed and couldn't have been more gracious. She didn't have the ethereal glow that would strike me when I saw her in the movies, but then William Daniels hadn't lit her bedroom. She asked me about my parents, and then about the classes I took with Irving Jr. Even though I was just a kid, the atmosphere was swankier and more complicated than just meeting the mother of a classmate. It was more like an audience with a queen.